I have Yolanda Fresneo, who is going to be speaking on a new debt architecture to tackle debt sustainability in the context of a climate emergency. You have the floor.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for this interesting panel and for inviting us. These days, when thinking of what civil society has called the debt and climate vicious circle, I cannot help thinking of Valencia in my own country, the climatic disaster that took the life of more than 150 people so far, and thousands that lost their houses and much more due to a weather event that, because of the intensity and the frequency that it's happening in our country, is related with no doubt to climate change. And I cannot help thinking of what happens when this climatic events, these weather events, happen in a global south country. Happens too often in small island developing states, in countries like Pakistan with massive floods, in Bangladesh, in Zambia with a massive drought in the last year, and how these countries would not have the fiscal space that my country, being in the European Union, will probably have, and how these countries need to borrow due to the lack of grant-based finance for loss and damage, that they had to borrow to get prepared for these events, for adaptation. How this borrowing is much more expensive than the borrowing that my country will probably have to do for reconstruction, because of, on top of the risk that the financial markets think these countries have, climate also adds to the cause and the risk assumptions. How these countries, like for instance Suriname, will be pushed to exploit fossil fuels and natural resources in order to repay that debt that they got into in order to face the impacts of climate change. This is what in civil society have been calling the vicious circle of debt and climate, something that we see is being taken by official spaces, including the V20 this October, explaining how climate impacts fuel the debt crisis, but also debt crisis further crowd out the fiscal space needed to generate and deliver on climate action. And the realization that we won't be able to address the climate change challenges in the global south if we do not lead with the debt crisis, and we won't be able to achieve sustainable levels of debt if we continue ignoring the climate change impacts. We totally agree that we need new approaches to debt sustainability. We need new metrics that include climate risks, that include climate financing needs, but also that have a gender approach that include the needs for SDGs, but that is not enough. We know that debt resolution is not working. As Atiyah Waris was saying, we don't have a disputes mechanism. The common framework is not delivering. The common framework had the consequence of a debt restructuring, for instance, in the case of Zambia, including contingent clauses that make debt payments higher if the Zambian economy goes well, but that don't put debt payments lower if Zambia suffers a massive drought. I already mentioned the case of Suriname. We have financial innovations like ESG finance with no regulation at all, with no common definition or taxonomy. We have debt swaps that in theory might be interesting, but in practice are far from adequate in its implementation and not sufficient in terms of delivering sufficient finance. We have climate resilient debt clauses and cat bonds. We saw how in Jamaica, the cat bond wasn't triggered because the destruction wasn't deep enough. That's the reality that these countries are suffering. We have the IMF Resilient Sustainability Facility, and we are seeing how they are linking this, accessing this facility to applying what we call green conditionalities, including austerity measures with highly gendered impacts. So we don't need more innovative instruments. We need a change in the debt architecture. We need rules for responsible lending and borrowing. We need frameworks for responsible debt management. And we need mechanisms for debt crisis resolution. And this is what takes us to what FFD4 could deliver in this sense. For civil society, we think that there is a need for an intergovernmental, an inclusive process to be decided at the fourth Financing for Development Conference in Spain to develop and adopt what we call a UN Framework Convention on Sovereign Debt. So a new statutory framework that should encompass a global consensus on the rules, on the protocols, on the principles throughout the different stages of debt. So not only debt resolution, but also as I said, responsible lending and borrowing principles, and new approaches to debt sustainability, and many other reforms. We just produced a report that explains our proposal, so if anyone is interested, I can give it to you. And we have an opportunity. The opportunity is not FFD4 only, it's also COP29 and COP30, because there is a need for an agreement on the new common quantified goal on climate finance. So climate finance should not only be sufficient in terms of quantum, but it also should be of better quality, linking to what Hugo was saying. Climate finance is a responsibility. It's about paying up the climate debt that global North countries have with the global South. So it shouldn't be in the form of loans that need to be returned with interest. We need to understand that 70% of climate finance is today delivered in the form of loans. And the majority of that is in non-concessional terms. This is a business. A non-concessional loan is not aid, it's not climate finance, it's a business with profits to those that provide them. So we need an agreement on COP29 on NCQG. We need an agreement on COP30 to align sustainable finance with responsible lending as well. And we need an agreement, and I'll finish with that, at FFD4 on debt architecture reform, on a process with member states. So all member states and not only creditors are on the table when debt resolution, when responsible finance is being discussed. Today, this is being discussed at the IMF, at the G20. Most of the Global South countries in this room are not in those rooms discussing the most pressing issue for their economies. Thank you.